Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas, a very happy holiday season, and you know what, this week again is going to be pretty short and thinly traded, and actually I thought that there wouldn't be much to talk about today or even this week, but no, sure enough, out of the U.S. government, we do have some stuff to talk about and some, I think, some noteworthy market moves to touch on. I am chatting with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. So, Ed, President Trump finally signed this stimulus bill, $900 billion. It's not as much as, the Democrats initially wanted, and even in the last few days, it's not as much as Trump wanted in terms of getting money into the pockets of the average citizen. But fact of the matter is we have some stimulus bills signed, and now we get to talk about the initial market reactions. U.S. markets, let's start there. They are up. They're not up huge, but they are up, let's say, about 0.75%, and for the most part, holding these gains. Ed, what do you think about so far the reaction of the U.S. stock market to the stimulus bill news?
I think investors are rejoicing. I think that President Trump felt the political pressure. He had to back away from his threats. I think that the narrative of millions of Americans not getting unemployment benefits really resonated. And then also the government shutdown possibly complicating the vaccine rollout was just enough pressure to really force the president to just quickly sign this relief measure. And I think you're seeing risky assets. They're liking this. It removes, another risk event. And I think that, markets are, they were expecting if Trump didn't deliver, Biden would. So I think you're seeing, a muted reaction, but still it's positive for risk appetite. And that's why things are green.
Yeah, that's very true there, Ed. Now, do you carry any of this over now that the government has gotten at least some stimulus bill signed for the Fed to possibly do something? The Fed was waiting on the government and they got, again, something smaller than what had been thrown around. But does it now fall onto the Fed to continue some QE program or do something with what they can do?
Well, I think the Fed is going to be ready, and I think what we're seeing is that this virus spread. We're still in the early stages of finding out how bad is the Christmas spike going to be, and I think the concern is that we're probably going to see lockdowns remain the narrative for the next few weeks, and the next policy meeting is not till January 27th. So I think we're not going to have an intra-policy meeting. And I think right now you're probably going to see that the pressure is going to be on. I think if we see Treasury yields, if the 10-year is if it breaks past 1%, I think, the pressure to do yield curve control is going to grow. And I think that's going to be what markets will look as their next major step. But overall, I think that you're going to see that the Fed is, they're going to remain ultra accommodative for quite some time. And that should be very positive for, I think, U.S. stocks. And for now, I think that the next big, determining factor for the Fed and for, investors is going to be, exactly how is Congress going to be? And then we're not going to know that until the Georgia Senate runoff races on January 5th. So I think that will ultimately determine, how much more fiscal relief we'll get. And that will really, probably keep the Fed, waiting until those elections are passed.
Fair enough. But that January 8th date is tail end of next week, next Friday. So really only about a week and a half away. So we will get some clarity sooner rather than later. Ed, what about to this whole discussion on increasing the payments to individuals to $2,000 from the current $600 that was agreed on, which is really nothing to put into these people's accounts, pushing it to $2,000? It seems to be in discussions right now. Could that provide the hope to continue to push these markets higher?
I think for the most part, it's just going to be partisan politics. I think what you have the president requesting is, to boost the stimulus check from, I believe it was 600 to 2000, and also reduce a lot of that foreign aid. Republicans are against many Republicans are against having a $2,000 check go out for Americans. And I think that Democrats are also strongly against that reduction of foreign aid. So I think you're going to probably see there might be some wiggle room. Maybe they'll negotiate something closer to 1,000, but I'm not optimistic, and I think that even if those talks yield nothing, I think you're probably going to still see risky assets supported here.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other markets. Let's start off with gold, because gold has had a pretty volatile day already, made its run just over 1900, and then has pulled back. Even in pre-market hours, gold was volatile, spiked up, and then has pulled back, spiked up again, pulled right back. So is this just showing that the stimulus bill still a little bit on the short side, and most likely this was already priced into the gold price?
I think so. I think what we're also going to need to see is in order for gold to really kind of get going and really break above 1900, you need to see a much weaker dollar. And right now we're not getting that. I think that the stimulus relief bill here is just enough to provide a little bit of support here, but it's not going to, I think, take away the opportunity here that the dollar has for a slight rebound. I think we still have very thin trading conditions, and there's not a whole lot of flow that will, I think, provide any massive moves for this shortened trading week. And what we're probably going to see is that investors are going to be very cautious, I think, with some of the strong moves we've seen against the dollar. I think the dollar is ripe for a little bit of a pullback here. And if that's the case, I think you're also seeing, there's a couple of key factors too. You know, we just got through Brexit, and while the Brexit trade deal is skinny, and there's a lot of reasons to be somewhat short-term, bearish on the UK economy. I think that you're going to see that the dollar is likely to, I think, have a little bit of a stronger here move here against the European currencies, and that's probably going to be a headwind here for gold, I think, in the next couple of weeks. I think for the most part, gold is really going to take its cues off that Georgia Senate runoff race on January 5th. So I think that if the Democrats pull off the big upset, you're going to see that gold is going to start to price in that, wow, Biden is going to be able to deliver a lot more support to the economy, more infrastructure spending, and that's going to propel it well above 1900, probably immediately towards 1950. But that's not the base case scenario. I think what you're going to see is that maybe the Republicans most likely will win at least one of the seats, and I think there might be a little bit of pressure on gold, but ultimately I think that will be bought into, and then ultimately gold will have a slow grind higher.
Okay, so choppiness for gold, and one of the interesting trading patterns that we've seen this morning is almost a complete inverse correlation between the dollar and gold, because as gold popped to about 1900, the dollar was falling quite quickly, and then both reversed, and they've done it twice today. So no doubt that gold is very tightly correlated to the dollar right now. Let's talk about another market that has really crept into the conversation this year, and mostly just in the last 3 months of this year. That's Bitcoin. Bitcoin screaming higher again today. Bitcoin is a little short of 30,000. When you consider it started October just a little above $10,000, it's been an aggressive move, and it's come onto pretty much everybody's radar. Ed, please give us a little summary of your outlook for the cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin in particular.
I think Bitcoin was at 23,000 around Christmas Eve. It's now above 27,000, and overnight it did rally over 28,000, 28,300, I think was the high. And what you're going to see is that there is just a tremendous amount of institutional interest, that there's too much big money coming into the cryptoverse. What you're seeing is that you have all these massive investments going into Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all these other coins, and it's really providing some exaggerated moves here. And this is what we're probably starting to see is the beginning of a big trend here, because what happened is on Wall Street, I think for much of the year, at least the first 9 months, there was extremely high skepticism that, this is just another, bubble-like move we saw a few years ago when it failed to hit 20,000 and crashed towards 3,000. And right now what you're seeing is that Bitcoin just has too much new institutional interest coming in. And what happened is I think everyone right now is a little skeptical as far as where are you going to get yield, where are you going to get your best returns. And the hedge fund and money managers, they're all needing to show their investors that, okay, we're not missing out on, the best performing asset class of 2020. And what we're seeing is there's I think a lot of big money that has to come into Bitcoin because they need to show that they're not missing out on this crypto rally. And I think you're seeing there is just widespread demand. And a lot of it is institutional, but there is also, mainstream acceptance. I think PayPal has seen tremendous growth in new users and using Bitcoin, and there's just so much momentum behind this that, I think you're gonna start to see that there could be days where, we see $2,000 swings in the matter of minutes. And what's really surprising is that, last week there was that SEC probe on Ripple, the third largest coin, and there was a little bit of a downward move on Bitcoin, but no, that was simply bought into and then pushed higher. And so I think even these regulatory concerns are not derailing this crypto interest. And that's why this is kind of like the number one question I get asked. I mean, we're seeing some exaggerated moves, and with that, you have to have caution. I mean, I think could you easily see 30,000 or 20,000? I think, you can make a strong argument for both. And right now, though, I think there's just still a tremendous amount of growing interest, and that's why you're probably seeing many investors just really scratch their heads and wonder, okay, wow, it's up 11% today, and it seems that has its eyes set on for 30,000, and if that takes, how much higher can it go?
Now, Ed, I understand that big money managers, really any investor, wants to be on board when an asset or a market or anything is running this much. But as big investors, if it truly is institutional investors that are moving into Bitcoin, aren't they a little bit worried about this volatility? Because as you said, it could go to 30,000 and then could go right back to 20,000 or even 15,000. That's just the volatility nature of Bitcoin. So why isn't that at least getting some investors a bit more cautious here?
I think what was surprising for me was that this new wave of institutional money that's been going in was mainly for medium and long-term bets. I think that the belief is firmly in place that, the Fed is not going away anytime soon. Demand for fiat currencies is waning, and right now, I think that there's just too much belief that you're going to see that the biggest driver is that, throughout COVID, we've had over, money supplies across all the major economies go up 14 trillion. And I think that, that's very bullish for gold. And also right now, digital gold is as Bitcoin is called by some, is just still seeing, relentless demand. And I think that the warning signs are there, but I hate to say it, but people were saying the warning signs were there 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And I think, we've seen just price just continue to climb higher because you have all these filings from these big companies, whether they're MicroStrategy or MassMutual, and they're releasing these massive positions on Bitcoin. And, you know, that strong demand is, you know, providing that safety net right now. And it's going to remain volatile. I think that, you know, this is kind of the wild, wild west of FX trading that we saw back in the day. And I think that's why you're going to see many investors, you know, some of them, they're just going to be like, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to touch it. And others, they're going to, you know, try to capitalize and see if they can, you know, gain a big portion of this move up if it continues, as it seems a lot of that large money is placing on a much longer term bet here.
Okay, it's going to be fun to watch where Bitcoin goes from here. One final comment on one other market, kind of correlated, very correlated to gold, actually. That's silver. Silver is doing well today. It's up over 2%, and it has also been volatile, but silver has been outperforming gold. Silver continues to look pretty strong right now in about the mid-26 level. There's some pretty serious support around 27 and change. Any thoughts on silver and how silver is really leading gold at this point? It's lagging Bitcoin, but everything is. But silver is leading gold.
Yeah, very much so. And I think, you know, you have to take a look, you know, over the last, you know, few months, silver has really, I think, benefited from the news that I think that you're going to see there's going to be greater demand for silver as the industrial revolution takes part in across China and the U.S. I think there's going to be strong growing demand for silver as we get, you know, hopefully to return to pre-pandemic life. But silver has had I think a strong run up here, and a lot of people like silver over gold because silver is going to benefit from a pickup in that industrial use. So I think that you're probably going to see that for many traders that, you know, silver, it's been very bullish today. It's up almost 2.5%, I believe. And you're probably going to see that, you know, as prices continue to, I think, rise, you know, everyone's got that eye on that 30 level. And, you know, we're probably going to look to see if, you know, vaccine rollouts are successful, if the dollar trajectory is still going down. You know, I think that, you know, many investors are anticipating that, you know, you should not be surprised to see silver break above 30 by, you know, the end of the first half of the year.
It sounds like you are not alone in the bullish outlook for silver, because, man, last weekend's show seemed like everybody I talked to was saying that they're bullish silver. So it is off to, well, a good start just this week in this shortened trading week, but noteworthy to see the reaction so far in these different asset classes on the back of finally this stimulus bill being signed. Ed, great chatting with you, buddy. I will post a link to the Oando website where everyone can follow along with your daily note. Ed, thanks for your time today, man. I hope you have a great rest of your week and a very happy new year.
Happy new year to you too, Corey. Thank you.